Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 36 through 44. Hear the word of the Lord. About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven or the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray for our words, those which we speak and those which remain in our hearts. May our words be true and faithful to your word, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Nike yoga pants, a black North Face parka, Patagonia t-shirt, duck boots, gray Nike tennis shoes, white Converse high tops, just to name a few. I received my youngest cousin's Christmas list yesterday. It's lengthy and specific. And like most teenagers, it includes a lot of clothes. This time of year seems to be focused on clothes. What with the Christmas lists, Black Friday sales, ugly Christmas sweaters, party dresses, pageant costumes, and scripture. That's right, our dress code comes to us several times throughout the New Testament. Wearing the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, clothing ourselves in kindness, compassion, humility, meekness, and patience. This morning in our Advent lectionary passage in Romans, we are called to put on new clothes as well. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Each year, Advent rolls around again. You have the same themed candles of hope, peace, joy, love, and the light of Christ. We sing familiar hymns. We hear those same familiar passages. We act out variations of the same pageant. It's fairly rote, somewhat routine. But before we get too comfortable in the routine of Advent, we are warned by Paul in Romans. Now is the moment for you to wake up from sleep. Now, right now, wake up. Be dressed and ready for Christ. Paul is writing to the Romans using words with which we are well familiar. In the previous chapters, he has been reflecting on the new life we have in Jesus Christ. Do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And then Paul writes about love, that all commandments are summed up in love your neighbor as yourself. This new life in Christ and this new commandment of love are the ways Paul is urging his readers to keep alert. He calls his readers to step away from those kinds of things that dull our minds: reveling, drunkenness, quarreling, jealousy. Instead, he writes, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Forget about Patagonia t-shirts and Nike. Paul is calling us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That is, to wear his characteristics and his actions as we keep alert for the activities of God in the world. In our gospel lesson, we are reminded to keep alert as well. Just think, reflects the author of the Gospel of Matthew, of those people who before the flood were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. Now, eating and drinking and being married are, for me, good things. Most of us just finished plenty of eating and drinking with our families over Thanksgiving. But a few years ago, at a presentation at Bethel Lutheran, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Long, a professor of preaching at Candler School of Theology at Emory in Atlanta, changed my mind about this passage. Instead of being full of joy at eating and drinking and having weddings, he said the actual words for these actions in Greek. Eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage in English might elicit a cheers from us. But in Greek, especially when declared aloud in a mocking, low, gruff voice of one of the best preachers on the planet, I am convinced otherwise. In a bellowing voice, he said, they were trogontes and penontes and gamontes and gamazontes. In other words, blah, blah, blah. In other words, they were just going on with their ordinary lives, mundane, not paying attention, chewing and swallowing and bothering to get married. Trogontes and penontes and gamontes and gamazontes. Hardly a call for cheers when you hear it said like that. But instead of gumping along through life, we are called to keep alert. There are warnings throughout Scripture to keep alert, keep awake, or less warnings as they are reminders to pay attention. After all, you never know when God might show up. So keep awake, for now is the moment for you to wake from sleep. And those moments that God shows up, they aren't always spectacular, special days. Sometimes it's when you're working in the field or grinding meal together or shelving books in the library or checking email or commuting. Stay awake. That is the significance of Advent. We spend a few weeks at the beginning of the church year, beginning today in this first Sunday of Advent, reminding ourselves to keep alert. Jesus is coming. Yes, in the next few weeks, we'll hear Advent scriptures. We will listen to the choir. We will gather for Christmas Eve. We will tell the stories of a baby born in a barn cave and laid in a manger. A baby who changes everything. And yes, in the face of that baby, we see the face of God. And written on the life of that baby is the story of God's grace. But 2,000 years ago, in Bethlehem, was not Jesus' only arrival in our lives. Jesus arrives every day. We are called to keep awake, to see his presence and to work, for Jesus is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the hope of our faith. Not only that Jesus came to us, but that Jesus is with us, revealing his presence in the Holy Spirit again and again, shining light where there is despair, granting hope. The Reverend Martha Spong, a pastor in the UCC, the United Church of Christ, reflects on Advent hope. On the way home from Thanksgiving, we passed a white church with a sign you sometimes see, "We preach Christ crucified." And usually I smugly comment, "I preach Christ resurrected." So I did. But as the road continued to bend, as we moved from strip malls, where we stopped for coffee, to parkland we admired, to cornfields seemingly unending, to the crossroads where a young Amish man stood on an old school Segway, a primitive chariot pulled by horses, dragging a sledge of hay, I thought about that sign. Crucified, resurrected. Jesus, those are both ways you leave us, moments that disconnect you, take you down into the dark of death, or raise you beyond our limits, beyond our capacity to touch and to know. Spong continues, "I need to preach Christ incarnate," I thought, "touchable, knowing, enfleshed. What other hope do we have? Is our hope in forgiveness of the long lists of wrongs done by us, done to us? Is our hope in the vision of life renewed or life beyond this world? How do these hopes help us in a season of darkness, of grieving our losses, despairing of our future, identifying our wrongs against God and each other? We need the embodied God who walked the earth, who healed the lame, who ate with sinners, who told his stories and electrified the crowds, but alarmed the authorities and turned the world upside down. Without wielding a sword or carrying a gun, whose life was an action, political and spiritual, but most of all, human. We need you, Jesus. You are our hope then and now. Oh, come, God, with us. Amen. Hope is not passive. Hope is active and alert, paying attention to how God is at work in the world and joining in to be a part of God's hopeful presence. Hope is feeling utter despair wrenching apart our souls and yet carrying on, despite our own difficulties, assured that it will get better, keeping our eyes open for when it does. Hope is an anchor for us, it says in Hebrews, even in the most troublesome of storms. And hope, when we are alert to it, is right here among us. We are reminded of hope this Advent by the prophets who longed for God's people to be gathered together and to experience God's healing and power and love. Had we read the Old Testament lesson from the lectionary today, we would have heard those familiar words of Isaiah, of walking in God's light by beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Again and again, we are reminded in the scriptures to hope in the Lord. We are reminded of hope in the font, where the waters, in the waters of baptism, we die to the things of the flesh, such as reveling and quarreling and jealousy, and instead we rise from the waters, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, his love, peace, and grace. Next week, we will be reminded of the hope in this table as we sit down and give thanks for God sending Jesus into the world to be a bridge for us to God. We acknowledge the hope that one day we will be gathered together with God in the kingdom of God's love and hope. Hope arrives on a day like next Sunday when this congregation hears the nominating committee's candidate to be your next pastor. A hopeful fulfillment of this interim time that you would faithfully transition to a healthy relationship with your next pastor. Emily Dickinson wrote that hope is the thing with feathers, singing that tune without words that never stops. What is hope for you? For what does that feathered creature sing inside your soul? Keep an eye out for it. This week, put on spectacles of hope so that your eyesight is sharpened to its presence. The Reverend Dr. David Loos, president of Lutheran Theological Seminary at Philadelphia, reflected on his blog this week, "No one knows when tragedy will strike. No one knows when incredible blessing will occur. No one knows. But we do know this. God is present. Sometimes that's hard to see, and then we need help. And sometimes it's apparent to us, and then we can help others. That's the way the body of Christ worked all those long years ago. And at its best, it still works that way today. For hope keeps us awake and alert to God's presence in our lives. Keep awake. This week, keep awake. Pay attention to those times when God is revealing Jesus to you. In addition to our pantsuits and ties and sneakers and winter coats, let us put on the mantle of hope, alert to God's action in the world. May it be so.